is higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you are more than fair. Lord, we are so thankful that you are so generous with your grace and mercy, with your forgiveness and love. And Lord, we pray today that our hearts and minds would be open so that we understand even greater that your ways are so much higher than our ways and your thoughts so much more amazing than our thoughts. So Lord, open our hearts and minds so that we may indeed just even have a small portion of a perspective of your awesome grace and mercy. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to tell you a story. Not too long ago, I was preparing to fly back to Alberta, where Laura and I come from, to go to a board meeting there. And I always prepare in advance, usually a month or a month and a half in advance, by going to websites like Expedia and other sites to try to find the best flight. Normally a flight that actually gets me back for Sunday, which is important to me. But I take great pride in trying to make it as economical as possible for the Bible school who pays for the flight. And so I will scour the web pages of all the different airlines to find the best flight. And every once in a while, the airlines will have a sale. Can you turn the volume down a little bit? Because I can hear myself, and that's not a good thing. But every once in a while, the airlines will have a sale, and they'll put something on there like, two seats left at this price. You ever seen that? And I'll never forget, there was this one time where there was this really, really good deal on this flight, and it said, one seat left. So I went in right away, and I bought that seat. And I thought, I felt so good about myself, because I got this great seat at this great price, and there was only one left. I even went back afterwards just to check that they had taken down one left. That's how you know, I was so excited. I was so thrilled. And 2 days before the flight, Johannes told me this happens, and I you know, didn't want to believe it. They put an email out saying, for the same flight, saying, tickets on sale. 24-hour sale. Well, I could tell you that I was really, really upset. I mean, I was livid. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to phone the 800 number and say, you crooks! You said there was only one left, and now you're giving like three away at this price. Well, I did complain when I got to the airport, and I was told that cancellations happen, and they have a right to try to fill the plane. I thought it was so funny because I thought that it was unfair. And then I read this parable. And I was kind of making a joke about unions there because, you know, I felt like, I thought, just get all the people on the flight to complain together, collect the bargaining. Maybe we could get a deal, you know, because it was unfair. It was wrong. There was only supposed to be one left, and now you're opening up three more? That's not fair. And I thought, I was convicted, you see. Any of you ever convicted when you read the parables in the Bible? If you're not, you're not reading them enough. Because I realized, you know, what right did I have? I mean, if they had three seats left and they wanted to sell them at the same price, what right did I have to say, you know, it was wrong? But it's so easy for us to think about fairness. And I just love what Mrs. Hart said in the children's sermon. I thought that was a great way of saying, we're just happy with fairness, aren't we? We're just happy with, you know, egalitarianism. We're just happy with everybody being equal. We're happy with fairness. And yet our God is so much bigger than fairness, right? He's more than fair. And really, that's what Isaiah 55 is all about. That's one of the Isaiah 55 is a chapter in the Bible that if I could encourage you to memorize Old Testament scripture, this is one of the ones I would ask you to memorize. It starts out by calling the people who are thirsty to come and drink. It talks about the word going out and not returning empty, but accomplishing what God said. I mean, it's a powerful verse, and it starts the verses about the Messiah. It's in the chapters about the Messiah, and it is so important to understand why Jesus refers back to himself in the terms of Isaiah 55. Because in Isaiah 55, in this particular passage here, it really helps us to understand why, if we as the church, that's why I use the word out to describe the motive for this particular passage of Scripture, because it's one thing to know as a Christian that we've got that one seat that was reserved, right? We got it. We're in. We're in. We're our seat's secure. We not to worry. We're in. Okay? And sometimes when we're in, don't we just kind of have a sigh of relief and say, got it. I always feel good once I got that flight, I get the verification, I got the flight and it's paid for. I always feel kind of relaxed. Don't you? I know I'm on that flight. I know I'm in. I know I'm getting to where I got to go. And I just kind of relax and go, phew. And don't we sometimes as Christians, when we have our understanding of our up relationship, kind of go, phew, wow, we're in. Then we come to a fellowship like our family here across the direction. We get encouraged by one another. We study the Word together. We fellowship together. We share the peace together. And we're really excited and we think, yes, this is awesome. But how many of us are guilty of saying, you know, I'm in and wonderful, but forget to let other people know about the grace of God? And because it's so irrational, isn't that whole message as was shared in the children's sermon from Matthew 20, isn't it irrational? Isn't it wrong? Isn't it unfair? Isn't it? I mean, it's all those things. I mean, how many of you, and I'm just going to share my heart with you, how many of you have said when someone has treated you really wrong that they're going to get theirs someday? My grandma taught me that. My grandma was a saint. She was awesome. And she would say, don't get upset, don't take revenge, because they will get theirs someday. And I remember when I was in grade 5, there was this guy, and his name was Timothy, and that's why I had a hard time naming our first child Timothy, because this was a bully that I had come up against, and it always reminded me of him, and so I had to overcome that. That was a hard thing to do. And Timothy was a guy that used to beat up on me behind the backstop every recess. I don't know if you ever had any of those people. And I kept holding on to hope that, boy, when the Lord comes back or when we go to see him, he's going to get his. And I'll tell you something. Even as a pastor, as a Christian, when I went back to Camrose and found out that he's a believer now, I'll tell you something. It was hard. Now, why did my grandma tell me to remember that they're going to get theirs? Because bitterness and hatred and revenge are not the Christian way, right? We never benefit. Even if we get revenge, it doesn't benefit us. It hurts us. Because it's the bitterness. We talked about that last week. It's the lack of forgiveness. It's the bitterness that causes us and our relationship up to be affected, our relationship in to be affected, and certainly our relationship out to be affected, right? But I'll have to tell you, I just struggled with that. I wanted to know what church. I wanted to know just for sure when. I wanted to talk to his pastor. Because it just seemed wrong. I put so much into this idea that he was going to have to stand there and pay for it. But isn't that the mystery of the generosity of God? Isn't that what the owner was saying to the people who were complaining that they'd worked all day and got one denarii? One denarius? And it's interesting because that was a good wage. The reason I know that is that's what a Roman soldier got. So if the Roman soldier, government official, got that, then that was a good wage. That was a decent wage. And so the fact that they got, you know, they were getting a decent wage for a day's work, they should have been happy with that. But yet, isn't that human nature to think, well, if I got that for all day, then certainly the guy who's coming in last for 1 hour shouldn't be getting the same thing. And I mean, I have to tell you, it's hard because we're told that we're supposed to share the truth of Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, where it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Listen to those words again. Freely pardon. You see, it's one thing for us who are forgiven and have been in the church a long time to understand that, yes, we are freely pardoned. But for someone who's done a lot of stuff in their life, we're the ones who are called upon to go to them and say, "The Lord is near," right? Jesus died for you. He loves you. And no matter what you've done in your life, if you turn to him, the promise is the same as it was in Isaiah 55 way, way back then. It's the same today. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Brothers and sisters, if we don't let people know this, do you think the world's going to tell them it? Do you think the media is going to tell them it? If we don't let people know the generosity and the amazing love of the Father, of God, who will freely pardon when someone simply turns to him because of Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, because of his blood shed for us, a once and for all sacrifice, that he will simply pardon, freely pardon us. If we don't tell them, where are they going to hear it? Because don't we as a society, and it's one of the wonderful things about America, is don't we as a society really like to operate on fairness? On justice? Isn't that what we seek after? And quite frankly, if we seek after justice, this doesn't make sense. Because it's, as Mrs. Hart said, it's more than fair. It's more than just. Right? And that's why I think it's so cool that Isaiah, as the Lord tells him what to write, he says, you know, he tells us this, which is totally irrational. The people who are under works righteousness would find this totally insane, that you could simply turn to the Lord and he will freely pardon you. You could simply turn to our God and he would be so generous. And so then he tries to explain why. And this is why I say, if we don't get this out to the world, we will have done a great disservice to our God. Because this is what he says, and I think if you don't memorize anything from today, if you don't take anything home from today, take these words home with you. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Can you remember that? Can we say it together? "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Because isn't that the reason we come at things from the mentality that we do? Isn't that the reason that I was outraged because someone else got the flight at the same price as I did because I got the one that was left? Isn't it because we try to ascribe to God our way of thinking? Or even worse, society's ways of thinking? That's why this passage is so important. Because he's saying there that our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways aren't his ways. And I'm very thankful for that. Very thankful. And then, just to make it clear, declares the Lord should be enough, right? Now, if God was speaking to us like he was to Isaiah, wouldn't that be enough for us? I think it would. It was enough when Moses in the burning bush. I think it would be enough if God just said to us, "Declares the Lord," period. But he goes on because he understands that we're going to have difficulty with this because our human reason is going to take over and we're going to try to explain it away. He says this, and I'm going to close with this. And this is why that whole parable makes sense if you understand this. "As the heavens are higher than the earth." How high is that? Pardon me? Really high. Do we know? Can we put a quantitative figure on that? We can say how far the moon is from us, right? We can say how far the sun is from us. But I want you to hear what he says. As the heavens are above the earth, and the heavens includes the universe, can we understand this? Can we figure it out? Can we put some sort of measurement to it? No. That's the idea. No. It is immeasurable. It doesn't work in our rational thought. Because the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Brothers and sisters, if you leave with nothing else today, my prayer is that you leave with an understanding that in this church, our worldview is a theistic worldview. We have a view that our God is so much higher than us. He is so much more than us. He is more powerful. He is more loving. He is more fair. He is so much more than we are. Because those are really the two conflicting. If you came to the adult study today, you would have heard those are the two conflicting worldviews. One is a worldview that's materialistic, that says everything has to exist in the sphere that we can use science to explain it, or the theistic worldview where everything exists in the sphere and then God's outside of it. And that's our worldview. And if you leave here with nothing else, it's my prayer that you will understand that what God is saying through Isaiah in chapter 55 is so true. So true. So that when we try to explain God's majesty to people, we don't get discouraged if we can't impress upon them how awesome it is. If we have to use those crazy words like awesomeness. Right? I wish there was a word that could fully describe the love of God. I just did a Google search just to try to figure this out. I did a Google search on grace. I was thinking, what would be a good name for a ministry? And I thought Real Grace would be a good name. Because there's abundant grace, and there's greater grace, and there's higher grace, and there's a long list of grace out there. And it's kind of funny when you think about it, because grace and mercy are self-explanatory, and yet we want to add something to them, right? We want to give them an adjective so that we can explain, or an adverb, we can explain what this is. We want to give them something to enhance the understanding of it, and yet it should be enough just to say grace, undeserved mercy. Right? Yeah, we want to try to explain it. And so I did a search, Real Grace, and I like to make that, if we were going to have a ministry name, that would be my, I would like to have Real Grace Ministries, because I think people try to use words to explain it, but Real Grace is beyond our comprehension. Real Grace is not fair. Real Grace doesn't make sense. Real Grace is not rational. It is all about love. And it's what put Jesus on the cross. It's what raised him from the dead, and it's why we're here today, to experience real grace. A grace that says if we're willing to turn to the Lord, he will forgive us our sins. If we're willing to turn to him, he will freely pardon, even if it's at the last minute of our life, the last few seconds we have breath. We have the promise of the same reward for all who believe, a place in heaven with God.